Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, in the 80s and 90s, some of you will remember, there was an intense debate in New York City over whether to establish a civilian complaint review board, a civilian board to review complaints against the NYPD. Civilian, so it wasn't dominated by people from within the department. The police department resisted it at the time, but it finally happened. Well, now, more than a decade later, the New York Civil Liberties Union is out with a report claiming the Civilian Complaint Review Board has been a failure, that it has failed to hold the police department accountable for acts of misconduct. The Civil Liberties Union cites stats like that the CCRB failed to fully investigate more than half their cases before dismissing them, and only substantiating about 5% of all civilian claims against the police. The NYPD sees this report very differently, so we will hear from all three sides now, an official of the police department, a leader of the CCRB itself, and right now, Donna Lieberman, executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union, and Bob Perry, legislative director for the New York CLU, the author of the report. Donna, welcome back to WNYC, and Bob, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Donna, let's start with some history. What is the Civilian Complaint Review Board supposed to do, and where did it come from?
Well, the Civilian Complaint Review Board's mandate under the city charter is to undertake, and I quote, complete, thorough, and impartial investigation of misconduct complaints brought by civilians. And it's required to do so in a manner that will, in which the public and the police both have confidence. There's been a long history of concern about police abuse in New York City and accountability for it. It's universally recognized that review of complaints of misconduct by the police has to be done by an independent civilian entity, and that's in everybody's interest. It's in the interest of the public, and it's in the interest of the police department as well, because it inspires confidence when those few rogue bad cops are held accountable, and it protects the name, the reputation, and the credibility of the rest of the department.
And so you don't see systemic police abuse. You're talking about a few rogue bad cops, but that they need to be held accountable for confidence in the department as a whole. So, Bob Perry, tell us about the report that you released on the CCRB and what you found.
Well, we found the stories needs to be looked at from two sides, the CCRB side and the NYPD side. But first off, complaints have risen dramatically over the past 5 or 6 years. From 2000 to 2006, an 86% spike in the number of complaints filed with the CCRB. In those complaints, we've seen a radical rise in the number of abuse of authority complaints related to stop and frisk question, as well as a similarly great rise in the number of force allegations filed against police officers. What we know then is, of the very small number of complaints that are fully investigated, about 5% are substantiated. But as you mentioned in your setup, a concern is that an increasingly large number of complaints are being truncated without even beginning an investigation. In 2006, 60% of all cases were truncated or closed without an investigation. And this, according to the CCRB, is because they haven't got the resources to do the outreach.
That's what the CCRB says. They don't have the resources. We're going to speak to the head of the CCRB after you, then an official from the police department. But the police department has a very different take. Reading from the New York Times story on this today, they say complaints against the police are up in recent years, largely because Mayor Bloomberg instituted the 311 hotline, making it easier than it ever was by far for civilians to just call up with some kind of allegation against a police officer, as it's easier to call up and do so much other business with the city via 311. So people call up and complain about the police, but then they fail to come forward, the NYPD says, to actually press the charge, because a lot of these are casual or not serious or, you know, different upon second look. And that the NYPD says is the reason for the increase in allegations, alongside with the failure to substantiate those allegations.
There are a couple of false assumptions there. First, the CCRB in its most recent report has actually looked at the 311 issue, and they have concluded that it may be a factor, but it is not the significant, most important factor in the rise in complaints, that they have continued to rise long after the 311 system has become well known to the public. They look at 311 calls in other agencies, and they see fluctuations up and down, but a continued sharp spike in complaints to the CCRB. And there's a false inference in this response as well, that somehow complaints that are more easy to file are somehow not valid. And we believe that's a false inference.
Donna Lieberman, do you think that the CCRB is staffed with people who are truly independent from the police department, who really intend to get to the bottom of allegations of police abuse that come across their desks, and this is just a matter of resources and time? Or is there something, you know, something else going on, that they're too close to the force in some way or whatever?
Well, I believe that the CCRB has been the target of attacks all around, and at best, what we find is a lack of attention to it. It's not because the CC investigators don't care about what they're doing, or that Franklin Stone and her predecessor didn't care about making the CCRB an effective agency. The CCRB has never had a true champion in any place in government. Whenever it issues a report indicating systemic problems, like with policing at the RNC, like with strip search practices by the police department, the police commissioner goes on a tear. You know, the police department spin machine attacks the CCRB, and unfortunately, the CCRB has lacked the political will to follow through. It simply backs off and remains quiet. But the resource question is significant, because the CCRB has been, from its inception, funded to fail. It has never had the adequate resources to be aggressive in those in those investigations that it conducts. It has never had enough investigators, enough to resources to retain the investigators, or resources to undertake the several policy studies that it needs to do in order to anticipate and prevent problems that are going on with the police department.
So
it's been sabotaged all around. The city council hasn't done its job in terms of funding or oversight. The police department has certainly done everything that it can to make life difficult and the work difficult for the CCRB.
So before we go on to the head of the CCRB, Franklin Stone herself, and a view from a New York City Police Department official, what do you think needs to be done here? I mean, I mentioned at the top, you know, that there were long battles in the 80s and the 90s over the very creation of an independent civilian complaint review board staffed by civilians rather than people from the force. And now you're coming out with this report saying fundamentally this agency has failed. What are you calling for?
Well, you know, the agency, the notion of civilian review is a very important notion, and the CCRB must be retained and protected and expanded, okay? I think it's important that we establish an inspector general's office that will, in fact, have responsibility to monitor and audit police practices throughout the departments that are involved, and mediate disputes. It's important that the CCRB develop and have the resources to develop a public education and outreach program so that the communities impacted know where to go with complaints. It's important that we have a new mechanism for dispensing discipline. Right now, the police department is responsible for trying the most serious of cases, and the reports on the professionalism and operation of the trial room indicate universally that it's been incompetent, doesn't meet professional standards. So we have to move that prosecutorial function out of the police department, out of the trial room. The people who are accused of wrongdoing should not be judge and jury there. And I think the CCRB needs to create a unit that will analyze patterns and practices of police misconduct and recommend reforms in policing. And finally, the city council has to step up. They have to engage in the oversight, and they have to provide a lot more funding so that the CCRB can do its job. And the mayor has to make it clear to the police commissioner, and they have to, instead of responding with spin and defensiveness, they have to hear and listen and recognize that that good policing and good effective police accountability benefits police officers as well as all New Yorkers.
Bob Perry, a last word from you. It seems like you want an inspector general to monitor the Civilian Complaint Review Board. Isn't that like an inspector general to monitor an inspector general?
Well, the point is that every city agency has an independent inspector general to look at some of the problems we're talking about in the CCRB. Right now, it's the IEB head who functions as that in that role. We think there needs to be an intermediary who can help troubleshoot. He can help mediate disputes between the department and the CCRB when the department subverts the investigation process. And that's the role we're hoping the inspector general could play.
All right. Bob Perry, legislative director for the New York Civil Liberties Union, author of the report just out declaring the Civilian Complaint Review Board a failure. And Donna Lieberman, executive director of the NYCLU. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
And we'll hear in a minute from the head of the Civilian Complaint Review Board, Franklin Stone. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer and WNYC coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll begin a September series, a weekly series every Thursday with Lockhart Steele, publisher of the New York real estate blog called Curbed. But has the Civilian Complaint Review Board in New York City been a failure to monitor police abuse by the NYPD? We just heard from two members of the New York Civil Liberties Union who say, yes, it has been a failure. Joining me now is the chair of the Civilian Complaint Review Board, Franklin Stone. Ms. Stone, welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Well, you just heard Bob Perry and Donna Lieberman from the Civil Liberties Union. In general, how much do you agree with the report that they released on your agency?
Well, I certainly disagree with their conclusion that our agency is a failure. I think they're focusing on a misleading set of statistics and are focusing on aspects of police oversight that don't fall within our mission. If I could address the statistics for a moment and the truncation rate and substantiation rate, I'd really like to start with that, if that's all right with you.
Please do.
The suggestion, or at least the claim of the NYCLU, is that we deliberately fail to fully investigate half of our cases. And I think that that's an improper way to characterize what we refer to as our truncation rate. Quite simply, the vast majority of cases that do not get fully investigated don't get investigated because the complainants decide they don't want to follow through on their complaints after they've made them. I think you would be very hard-pressed to find any agency in the country that spends as much energy and as much of its resources as the Civilian Complaint Review Board does in trying to persuade those complainants to follow through on their complaints. Indeed, most agencies don't even maintain the statistics relating to complaints that are not fully followed through on.
So if what you say is true, then you're really backing up the quote in the Times today by the police department spokesman Paul Brown, who said so many of the complaints, maybe because they come in so easily under the current system to 311 by people just dialing 311, turn out to be things that that people really don't want to follow through on. Do you agree?
I do agree with that. I would say that we have found that our truncation rate is higher when calls are made from cell phones through 311 immediately during or after a given incident with the police. Complaints that are made a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later tend not to truncate because they're not made in the heat of passion.
How do you try to convince people to follow through? You said you do that.
Well, the vast majority of our complainants are easily located. We try to reach them by phone. We try to reach them by letter. If need be, we will try a visit to the home. But generally, that expenditure of resources is not necessary for us to ascertain whether a complainant is willing to follow through on the complaint.
You said a very interesting thing, that complaints that are filed a week or a few weeks later usually turn out to be more credible than those filed right after an incident. And yet I think we often hear about about almost any kind of complaint, well, the person waited a few weeks, and then all of a sudden they decided they had a problem with the police department or they had a problem with this person. So it's very interesting to hear you say that you find more credibility, there's more substantiation when people wait a week or two before reporting their issue.
No, I'm not saying that we find those complaints more credible. I wouldn't say that at all. What I'm saying is that a complaint that's made at the moment while the incident is going on has a higher likelihood of falling by the wayside with the complainant not agreeing to cooperate with our investigation. That's very different. There isn't a difference in substantiation rate, I don't believe, between those complaints that are made at the time of the incident and those that are made the next morning or the next morning or the next morning.
Okay.
It's not a credibility or substantiation. It's simply really a matter of psychology, that complaints get made often when a civilian is unhappy with a police encounter, and then later when they realize that they have to follow through and they actually have to make statements and go further on it, and they've gone on with their life, that they find, you know, that they're not prepared to spend the resources that they need to spend to prepare a case for us to send over to the police department.
Franklin Stone, director of the New York City Civilian Complaint Review Board, after the NYCLU released a report saying this agency is a failure in terms of monitoring police abuse. Now, you just talked about resources. You place the onus on the individuals who file the complaints. As you heard, the Civil Liberties Union says the fundamental issue, or at least a fundamental issue, with the Civilian Complaint Review Board is that you are woefully under-resourced and that you were set up to fail back in the 90s with the creation of the board because it just doesn't get enough money to vigorously enough pursue enough of the complaints filed by the public. What do you say to that?
I disagree with that. First, I'd like to say we could always use more money. And with more money, we can investigate faster than we do. We could devote more resources to individual cases. But I think the fact remains that we fully investigate between 3,000 and 4,000 cases every year, far more than any other civilian complaint review board in the country. We think we do an excellent job with investigating those cases. We substantiate, or to use a different term, sustain, that is, send over to the police commissioner, almost 12% of those fully investigated cases, not 5%, which is what the NYCLU would have you believe by comparing apples to oranges, by comparing our substantiation rate to the total number of complaints that we do intake on.
Right. Well,
I think we do an excellent job of our mission, and that is our mission. Our mission is to take complaints, to investigate them, to write reports, and to make recommendations to the police commissioner. And with those 3,000 to 4,000 complaints that we handle every year, I think we really, really do a good job of that. We have excellent investigators, excellent managers that are experienced law enforcement personnel, and a really top-notch board that reviews every single case and in panels and make decisions of whether the police commissioner should be advised of the behavior. While we could always use more money, and there are always cases that get sent over to the police department that are, you know, ultimately can't be prosecuted for one reason or another, I really think we do our core business very, very well.
The Civil Liberties Union guests also said that the NYPD attacks your agency in public when you start to go down the road on some case or another, and then the agency has a history of backing down. I guess you'll deny that too.
I do deny that. Very few people would accuse me or my board of actually backing down on
it. Do you have any issues with the police? I mean, it sounds like you're, you know, defending against every point raised by the NYCLU, and yet you're supposed to be an independent agency investigating allegations of police abuse. One would think that you run into many points of friction with the police department,
well,
but you're not sounding like it.
We do, and I actually do agree with the NYCLU on a couple of points, a couple of significant points in their report. We do have difficulty obtaining access to documents and police department personnel. We've made tremendous progress in the last 5 years through technology, but there's still room for improvement, and it would conserve our resources and enable us to investigate our cases faster if we had increased access to documents and police department personnel. So I completely agree with them on that point. But it is something that we've brought up, so it's unfair to suggest that we've just rolled over and kept our mouths shut on that issue. The other thing where I completely agree with them is with respect to the police department's disposition of our substantiated cases. Again, this is an issue we raised long before the NYCLU raised it. We have expressed concern first in the dramatic increase in the last 2 years of instructions in cases where the police department agrees with us that there's been misconduct. We think more serious discipline would be more effective than instructions has been. We also have made quite a bit of noise in the last couple of months as the police department has begun declining to prosecute our cases, that is, even declining to put them before a trier of fact to determine whether, in fact, misconduct did occur. We are very troubled by that. We think the police department is mischaracterizing the facts of the cases when they talk to the press about it in response to our complaint.
Well, let me follow up on that, because what I've read is that the NYPD is now openly refusing to follow up on more substantiated cases, as you call them, of police misconduct coming out of your agency because of what they contend is poor legal and investigative work by your agency, the CCRB.
I couldn't disagree more. What they are doing is taking our cases and reading through the police officer's testimony and the testimony of the complainant and other witnesses and completely crediting the testimony of the police officers, discounting the testimony of the complainant and other witnesses, and deciding that there's no reason to send the case on to a trier of fact.
That's why the Civil Liberties Union says there needs to be yet some other independent body to make these judgments.
Well, we actually agree with them that the cases would be better prosecuted and better tried in a forum that didn't involve NYPD employees. We agree that the police commissioner in individual cases has the right to set discipline as he sees fit, but we think the determination of whether, in fact, there was misconduct would be better if, for example, as Mayor Giuliani proposed, the CCRB undertook to actually prosecute its own cases. As it stands now, our cases go over to the NYPD, and they have declined to even accept help from us in prosecuting their cases. They don't allow our investigators who have already developed a relationship with the complainants to help set up the case for trial, which would give it the best possible opportunity for the facts to be found.
So before you go, and my guest has been Franklin Stone, the director of the Civilian Complaint Review Board, which monitors the New York City Police Department. How long have you been with the CCRB?
I have been a member of the board for 7 years, and I've been the chair of the CCRB for 1 year.
So I guess you haven't served under any other police commissioner or during the tenure of any other police commissioner.
Oh, yes, I have.
You have. Well, would you say that the department under Kelly is any more defensive or obstructionist than previous PDs since the board was created in 94?
I couldn't characterize, I couldn't say it that way. What I could say is in the last 2 years, we have seen a dramatic change in how they are handling our substantiated
cases. Last 2 years. And do you have a theory as to why then?
I think there's been a change in personnel in the Department Advocate's Office that has resulted in a different evaluation and treatment of our substantiated case.
So you don't take it to the top. You don't take it to the commissioner.
I believe that the commissioner is having cases explained to him in ways that are not entirely fair. You can ask Julie Schwartz that when you speak with her next.
Which is right now. Franklin Stone, director of the Civilian Complaint Review Board, thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Brian. Thank you.
So does the NYPD Civilian Complaint Review Board get to the bottom of police abuse? We've heard from the leader of the board itself just there and from the New York Civil Liberties Union, which just released a very critical report. Finally, now we do have Julie Schwartz, Assistant Commissioner of the NYPD in the Advocate's Office. Did I get your title right?
I'm actually the head of the Department Advocate's Office.
Okay. So tell us what you do with relation to police abuse claims.
The Department Advocate's Office is the prosecutorial arm for the whole police department. So we review all the cases, whether they come from CCRB, whether they come from the Internal Affairs Bureau, investigated agencies. We review them and we make the recommendations to the police commissioner how they should be handled. We do the trials. We oversee that arm of the discipline.
So you heard what Franklin Stone just said. There's been some kind of change over the last 2 years, where there's much less cooperation by the NYPD with a Civilian Complaint Review Board on cases that they see as substantiated, and that the department declines to even accept help from the board to set up trials or prosecutions.
Well, there's a lot in what you just said. First of all, I'm a little shocked by the comment that we lack, that we refuse to seek help. That is clearly inaccurate. We have a very good relationship with the investigators. When we have difficulty calling witnesses, we reach out to them.
And she went further than saying you refuse to seek help. She said you refuse to accept help.
That's the first I've ever heard of it. We meet on a regular basis. This is if this was the problem, it should have been brought up, since we have investigators constantly coming to CCRB. My CCRB team meets with speaks to them all the time. So that really is out of left field, Brian.
All right. Now, they also said, let me play a clip of Donna Lieberman from the interview earlier. Donna Lieberman, the head of the New York Civil Liberties Union, saying the police department is responsible for dealing with the most serious cases of police abuse and that you fail to follow through.
The police department is responsible for trying the most serious cases, and reports on the professionalism and operation of the trial room indicate universally that it's been incompetent, doesn't meet professional standards.
Your reaction?
Well, Brian, did you read the report? The report refers to the Commission to Combat Police Corruption in 2002. We are presently in 2007. I need to point out that to rely on something that was issued 5 years ago, which is probably researched a couple years before that, is so unprofessional. I have not heard, nor was I asked, has anyone from the NCYLU been in the trial room? They don't know what goes on there now. I can tell you that every single one of my attorneys has prior degrees. There are no uniform members. It is all civilian members who work in the advocate's office. That's not mentioned in the report. Most of them are either been involved in the criminal justice system. Most have been prior district attorneys. I have former legal aid attorneys. I don't see that in the report. They haven't been in the trial room. They haven't. I mean, to put that in there is so irresponsible. So I can't even really comment because it's not even valid.
What about the stats themselves that Franklin Stone claimed that over the last 2 years that there's a big decrease in follow-through, that is prosecution of cases that they consider substantiated allegations of police misconduct? Has something changed in the last 2 years? Apparently the stats at the very least have changed.
Yes, something has definitely changed. The advocate's office has become more professional. I was a district attorney for 15 years. I was the bureau chief in Kings County of sex crimes cases. I evaluate cases. I don't just throw something into the trial room and get a dismissal. I mean, we do legal analysis. We look at case law. We interview people. We have to redo what they've already done. So, yes, something has changed because we are much more professional than we ever were.
So you're saying that a more professional look at cases brought to you by the CCRB reveals that the CCRB was bringing a lot of bad cases in the past. Is that what I should conclude?
They do very thorough investigations. However, their analysis is not accurate. I mean, they you know,
in general, as a general matter.
Well, let me point out that before I got here, the force cases, which are the most serious cases, had higher numbers. In the last year, only 8% of the cases that were substantiated by the CCRB were allegations of force. The cases that we're talking about are cases that involve abuse of authority, stop, question, and frisk, stopping people on the street, not providing a name and shield, telling somebody if they don't do something, they're going to be arrested. These are different kinds of cases that require a different analysis. So while the numbers have gone down, it's also because what's coming in. We don't, thankfully, don't have force cases. We don't have offensive language cases anymore. So in that part, CCRB is actually doing their job. But now we have these other types of cases that require a different type of legal analysis, a more professional, a more educated analysis, which unfortunately is not getting done at CCRB. We have to look at, is a case viable for prosecution? Brian, we had a case they gave us just recently, and the allegation to the police officers received a radio run in the Bronx that a armed robbers had just left in a gray Nissan car, I believe it was Massachusetts Place, going northbound on Gun Hill Road. 8 minutes later, the officers pulled over a silver Nissan, and I might have mixed it up a little, but with Florida plates. And CCRB said, oh, no, that's bad. They said Massachusetts plates, not Florida plates. I mean, and therefore they substantiated and asked for 30 days for these officers. Let me tell you, as a DA, if they were the robbers, they would have been arrested. If they had guns in the car, they wouldn't have been suppressed, and they'd be, you know, doing time. These people were not the right people, so they were let go. But, I mean, these are the types of cases we're getting, Ryan, and I'm doing the right thing by recommending that we don't prosecute.
We just have a minute left. But systemically, you may be telling the truth, you may be stretching the truth, I have no idea. But the trust factor on the part of the general public, when they see you as a member of the NYPD brass and people above you in this department making these decisions, even though you're using your best judgment in the way you just described, even if you are, the New York Civil Liberties Union says we'd all be better off if there was an even more independent body, some kind of inspector general, to decide whether to bring these cases, because then there wouldn't be the potential conflict of interest of somebody from within the PD bringing charges or deciding not to bring charges against others in the PD. What do you think?
I think that that makes absolutely no sense. We have an independent agency, and that is CCRB. And they do the analysis. But we also need to have somebody that can do an evaluation. And it should be, I want to make it really clear that I don't have any uniform attorneys. There's no one with biases. No one's ordered to be there. Everyone who works for me has prior law, you know, legal experience.
But do you report up the chain ultimately to Commissioner Kelly?
Yes. But, I mean, Commissioner Kelly has made a commitment to make sure that there is a separation in the advocate's office. That, I mean, that was the prior criticism 7 years ago that they're still using. So, you know, every step that's, we are moving forward, but there has to be some knowledge of what works. And the legislation is very clear. I mean, there was just a bill that was denied by Spitzer that discipline lies in the hands of the police commissioner. So they can propose all the inspector generals that they want, but that's not what we have here in New York State.
Julie Schwartz, Assistant Commissioner of the NYPD in the Advocate's Office. Thank you very much for coming in. We really appreciate it. Three views of the effectiveness of the CCRB. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. We start a weekly series for the month of September with New York City real estate blogger Lockhart Steele from Curbed. Stay with us.